Welcome to the Investor Coaching Show, a podcast to help you get an insider's view of the financial world and escape common investment traps. We look at the financial news of the day and help you make sense of it so you can relax about money. And here's your host, Paul Winkler.
All gain and no pain. You know, what if I could look like Arnold? You know, what if I could look like that and I just I don't even have to lift a weight?
Right.
I could just take a little supplement.
Yeah,
take a little supplement, you know, and then just, you know, be buff. You know, just, I had a neighbor like that growing up.
If it worked, I'd
pay for it. He could look at a weight and he would get, and he was just like, I'm working out like crazy right. And I'm a little skinny run. And you're like this, you know, and he was like the football guy, but he never worked out. He never did anything. But that's not normal.
Yeah. I've read 3 books on weightlifting this year, and I'm not any stronger.
Did you? Which one? No, I'm joking. But, you know, back to investing, it's just like we so desire. Give me some returns, man, and I just don't want to take any risk whatsoever.
Right.
And, you know, there are things that you can do to mitigate risk. Don't get me wrong. There are a lot of things you can do.
Yes.
A lot of academic things that you can do. But completely getting rid of risk is a sales pitch.
Well, if you completely get rid of risk, intuitively you should know you're completely getting rid of return.
But that's not what
people think. It's not what's sold, but...
No, it's not.
Yeah.
So you had a product that you said that now what's going on is now the insurance industry is doing something really, really interesting.
Yeah, and...
Go for it, and I'll tell you where my interpretation of it, Evan, because it's just really, really.
I'll lay a little bit of foundation because we've talked over the years about these equity index annuities, which is a fixed annuity. You know, it's an insurance contract, and interest is credited based on a portion of the movement of a stock index, is the easiest way to say that.
Mm-hmm.
And they pretty much perform more like a bond with less liquidity, but. That's kind of the general design, and that's how they're sold. I can participate in the up market, and I don't participate when it goes down.
Mm-hmm.
Fair enough.
Mm-hmm.
And those are confusing anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd run across an article, actually, in like Investment News or Wealth Management or something like that, and mm-hmm. I saw this RILAs are, you know, increasing. I'm like, what's an RILA?
Mm-hmm.
And we're pretty plugged into this industry.
Well,
what is that?
And this happens a lot, you know. So just so folks know, what happens so often in this industry is people have an objection to something about a product. There's something they don't like about a product. Then people start to get wise to it. And then they start to complain about it. They think that may be not such a great idea. One example for me would be participation rates.
Yeah.
A lot of people started to get wise to participation rates in annuity contracts were a problem. So what we started seeing is cap rates you had 100% participation rate.
Right.
Which got rid of the negativity of, a participation rate, if you had a contract that has 60% participation rate, if the market went up 20, you only went up 12. You went up 60% of the market increase, and that's what participation rate meant. Minus the dividend, which would made it a little worse. But, you know, in general, that was it. You look at it and go, well, I want the 20. I don't want the 12. Well, if you went up 10, you only went up 6. And if you look at the math on that, the difference, it was like, oh, my goodness. You just took away all of the equity premium by taking away participation when you did that. All the return that stocks have given us higher than bonds in English. Now, what happens, they say, well, people got wise to that the participation rate was an issue, and then they started looking for 100% participation, and guess what? Insurance companies came out with products with 100% participation rate with cap rates every month or every year. And that's what they did is they just went and changed the contracts. So anyway,
they'll run an illustration that says if the cap rate was 10, you would have done this over this artificial 10-year period like you were referencing earlier, Ira.
Right.
But then they can change the cap rate and – year 3 of your contract, the cap rate is 5 because mm-hmm. we've had a lot of volatility. You know, I mean,
mm-hmm.
they don't stay the same. Well, now these are registered index-linked annuities, which to me says it's a security.
Mm-hmm.
Now, so because You now have a, this gets even better, Paul, for you.
Oh.
You now can participate. We're back to participation and cap rates on the upside. And you have participation rates on the downside.
Yes.
And so, you know, now you can kind of play both ends against the middle. And again, they're going to end up just being like an illiquid bond fund for the most part that's going to have nowhere near market rates of return over time.
So what objection is being overcome here would be my question for you, because I have an answer to that, but I'm wondering what you have to say about this.
I honestly don't know what to me, it's just more complex. The only thing I can think
I'll give you mine. I'll give you mine.
Because I mean, it's still an insurance product. So, you know, I would think a broker would still have to have an insurance license to sell this thing.
Yeah. The objection that I see here.
Yeah.
If it sounds too good to be true,
oh,
it is, right? As my grandmother used to say, right? You know, if it sounds too good to be true, that would be the objection. Now, at least they've put some plausibility in here that you can have downside risk. Therefore, my upside potential must be there. But we're only taking away some of the downside risk.
Right.
Is what's happening. So I think what it does is it takes away the objection of believability.
Could be. Could
that would be my thinking.
And they've made it even more complex. On the upside, it's still about the same as what most equity index annuities were. On the downside, there's two versions of these things.
Yeah.
And you can pick, depending on the company you're using, you can pick. One is called a buffer. And the buffer just basically says, you know, let's say the market goes down 12%. I'll use the example in their sales literature. And if you have a buffer of 10, you don't lose the first 10%. You only lose 2%. You know, like if the market went down 12, your contract only goes down 2%. Okay. That's the buffer.
Okay.
Then they have a floor, but that's where you take the first loss. Like I have a floor of 7.
How much you're willing to lose, so kind of?
Yeah, I'll go down 10, but I don't want to lose more than 10. That's a floor.
Sounds like an options contract to me.
Well, that's all that's inside these things for sure. What got me a little bit mad.
I just want to say, so those of you who don't know what I just said right there, an options contract, you might have a put, an option to sell, a call, an option to buy, and you can limit your downside loss with a put is basically, that's what I was referring to. But anyway, you're saying.
Well, they, you know, in the sales literature, it says these things have no fees.
Yeah.
And of course, that I just like scratching a chalkboard for me.
They're running a charity.
They're building all these big buildings with no fees.
Buildings that don't cost us anything.
And so in this footnote, it says the only money we make is on the interest that we're making off the money sitting here that we don't pay you in the contract. I'm like, that sounds a lot like a fee to me. But here you were reading a couple of these things earlier when we were talking about the other product. I just banged the mic. Sorry.
That's all right.
Here's just some of the bullet points in this thing. But this is under potential growth opportunities.
Yeah, a weasel work.
Weasel. Cap rate is the maximum performance that can be earned at the end of the term based on index performance. And that's got two footnotes. Step rate credits a predetermined percentage of growth if index performance is either flat or up at the end of the term. Two footnotes. Step rate edge credits a predetermined percentage of growth if index performance is greater than or equal to the shield rate at the end of the term. This is like 1960s show rules.
Do you guys understand anything he just said? And you did. You're lying.
People understand, okay, it went down 4%. People can process that.
Yeah.
But it's hard to process that your edge rate was overperformed by the shield rate. Like, who do I call to find out the shield rate?
I mean, you know, but people are buying this stuff. That's the thing that gets me. They're buying this stuff.
Hundreds of millions of dollars of these things.
Yeah, and that's because the people that are buying them do not understand what they're buying.
The agents can't either.
Right. They don't either. No. Yeah,
so I just did like just a quick little Google search, you know, registered index linked annuity. Mm-hmm. And it's what I find interesting is, you know, in bold letters, tax deferred long term savings option that uses stock market index to determine gains and losses. Then it goes on. It offers growth potential, a greater, more growth potential than a fixed index annuity, which the industry is selling millions and billions of dollars worth, mm-hmm. but less potential return and less risk than a variable annuity, which think of a mutual fund mm-hmm. wrapped in an insurance product, mm-hmm. but mm-hmm. it's the mm-hmm. full. But this is the thing, and this is where most people will get lost in the weeds. What sets it apart from other types of annuities, which you talked about just a second ago, is your ability to set the maximum loss you are willing to tolerate. Mm-hmm. Now, I have never in 40 years mm-hmm. had a client say, well, this is how much loss I can tolerate.
Yeah.
40 years I'm doing this. I mean, but maybe I need to do it
another
40.
But the risk tolerance questionnaires say that, though, and right. they're absurd.
I know they are. But it's just crazy.
Well, the reason, let me explain to people that why I said that's absurd. I will never forget interviewing a guy who was a higher up at a college that taught financial planning. And I just said outright, risk tolerance questionnaires are absurd. And he goes, yeah, actually, we have found that. It's what he said. Right. And the reason being is I'm completely risk intolerant after a market downturn.
Right.
I am bulletproof after a market upturn. I think the sky's the limit.
But if you go back and if you look at the holdings, the security holdings of an insurance company, mm-hmm. they hold and own stocks and fixed income securities. There's not an insurance company out there that when you look at their holdings, they're holding annuities.
Right.
So why are the insurance companies not holding annuities if they're safe for future investments?
If you like this stuff so much, why aren't you guys buying it?
So here's another wrinkle to this that puts it closer to the variable annuity category in my mind than the traditional fixed index annuity, is you have the ability in these contracts, you can pay for an option mm-hmm. to lock in your gains before the end of the term. So in most of these annuities, they have 1 year, 2 year, whatever term, and
Is this like you go to the casino and I say, I'm going to stop gambling when I hit a certain level, if I hit a certain winnings, I'm gonna step off of the casino floor.
Yes.
But how likely, when you're on a casino floor and you're winning, are you to walk away and actually say, I'm just going to stop now? That's a rare person that walks away after winning so much, let's say, number one.
I would agree.
It's a rare person. So hence, number one, you're making the same argument here. Once you've hit a certain level, you walk away because you've got a win in hand, baby. You're knocking it out of the park. I'm not going to stop gambling. And if you're getting a winning hand with this annuity product, that's the time you're least likely to lock in the quote-unquote gains and walk away.
Yeah,
is that what you're saying? Am I getting this right?
You're inferring something different than I did. Let me put it
okay,
that way.
Okay, because that's what I heard you say.
Practically speaking, that's what's going on.
Oh, okay.
You can
stop
the contract.
That's where I was coming from.
Midpoint, you can stop.
Okay, so I was getting that right. Okay.
So whether it's likely that they would or not, that's where I think we might differ. So someone that buys one of these products,
yeah,
it may go up, whatever, 8%. And they say, well, hey, I've got my 8 because it could go down and they might not keep the 8 till the end of the term, right? So now we're adding market timing to this deal.
Yes.
And it's irrevocable. So once you jump off the train,
right,
you stay off the train until the end of the term. It just sits there in cash, basically.
Just my experience with investors is this, Evan. You know, if the markets are doing really well, let's say large U.S. stocks are doing really well. It's really hard to get people out of large U.S. stocks they're doing really well.
Sure.
Because what you're hearing in the news is that the future's bright and it's getting brighter and things are going to be even better. and they don't recognize that that bright future mm-hmm. is already in stock prices. They don't recognize that. They don't get that. Most investors don't understand that.
Right.
So therefore, if you're getting these big gains and you keep hearing that the economy is good, we're growing, it's going to be rapid, there's some great expansion coming in the next 5 to 10 years, and maybe somebody's excited about who's president or who's in Congress or what they're going to be yeah. doing, and you're not likely to just go, I think I'll walk away now. Because I've gotten the gains that I needed.
Well, I talk about that with clients because, again, I'll just go back to my 40 years. So maybe I'm just not doing this long enough yet. So, you know, the market's being volatile, going up and down. You know, it does both directions. I have not had a single client that has called me up and said, Ira, when the markets are going up, Ira, move me to cash. The markets are going higher. I've made enough money. I'm afraid to make more. So move me to cash right now.
Yeah, it doesn't happen.
But when the markets are going down,
yeah,
they think it's going to go to zero.
Right.
So move me to cash because yeah. I can't afford to lose any more money.
Yeah. We complete patterns in our minds.
Right.
And, well, for sure.
But yeah. nobody completes the pattern of it to continue. You know, we complete the pattern of it continuing to go up. We don't complete it.
Exactly.
It's going to go down now.
Right. But seriously, to me, that's the risk of this is, let's just say you get one of these that has a 6-year term, which you can do. It's uh-huh. a 6-year calculation.
Uh-huh. 6-year point to point?
And let's, kind of.
Okay. Uh-huh.
And let's say you've gone up for 3 years
uh-huh.
and you go down 10%. You've uh-huh. made a ton of money, but now it's down 10.
Uh-huh.
And to your point, both of you, oh, now it's going to keep going to zero. I better get out and lock in.
Uh-huh.
And but that's when the correction is and you miss right. another 2 years of growth. You're sitting yeah. on the sideline for 2 years. What? So they've now added market timing
yeah.
to
yes.
what in theory was a guaranteed mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. too good to be true
yeah.
product.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. That is
pity the fool. I pity the fool.
That is the issue. And that's so, you know, so we it's our stinking thinking, folks.
Yep.
Thanks for tuning in to the Investor Coaching Podcast. Now, you may be one of these people that's been listening and realizing, wow, investing, there's a lot more to it than meets the eye, and financial planning, tax laws constantly changing, and recognizing that maybe you might need some help in this area, but you don't want just anybody to help you out. So we have 10 offices in the Middle Tennessee area, and everything we do is fee only. We align our interests with your interests. So you can get an initial 15-minute phone call with any one of our offices just by going to paulwinkler.com/call. That's it. Every one of the offices is run by somebody with 20 plus years experience. They're all degreed planners. They all have academic backgrounds in investing, and you can get the help that you need. So if you want to set up a complimentary phone consultation, just go to paulwinkler.com/call. And we look forward to seeing you soon. All right, we are back here on the Investor Coaching Show. I am Paul Winkler, Evan Barnard on keyboards over there. And
keyboards and trumpet.
And trumpet, I didn't see the trumpet. And Ira Work. All right. So, Evan.
I didn't do it.
Yeah, you did. You got so much stuff over there. I mean, I got this stuff on gold.
You guys must have social lives because, like, I just had a bunch of articles and you're just, like, sitting around.
No, I do. I have this thing on a case for gold in a fickle world.
There you go.
You know, a few, if any, financial assets have the longevity and charisma of gold. The yellow metal sparkles in jewelry. And you know, it's a store of value. The last point plays into it. It says it's been long viewed as a symbol of wealth. It's considered a so-called safe haven asset during calamitous times. So-called. They're even covering themselves in a pro-gold so-called because, you know, worst period of inflation we've had in this country's history was in the 80s, and that was the worst return for gold during that period of time. Last points, gold plays into gold's reputation as a store of value, yet gold isn't immune to volatile price swings. Yeah. If you look at the standard deviation of the price swings of gold, it would get you seasick. You're going to need some Dramamine.
Yes, for sure.
It is a really nasty asset, And I see so many people chasing it. And now, and it's just like after it goes up in value, you see people, you know, chasing it, and people get nervous. They get scared about things. That's it. It's always been kind of the case. But, you know, you look at the workshop that we teach to investors, and we look at the history of gold. It's not pretty, man. I mean, you look at the rate of return historically. Right. You know, you look at it and you say, hey, I made money. It's like I said, the most important question, those of you that were not listening earlier in the show, we have these 20 questions on our website. And, you know, paulwinkler.com. And the questions are all about, if you were to say, what is the most important thing to me regarding all of those questions about investing? You know, how do I know if I'm stock picking, you know, market time? Do I know if I'm gambling with my portfolio? Do I have an investment policy statement? Do I, you know, it's, do I have a true purpose for money? And, you know, do I have, do I understand how markets work? And, you know, all these different questions that we have, do we know our biases that we have and blah, blah, blah. The most important question is, how do I know my investments are doing what they're supposed to be doing? I said something to a guy the other day, a client of ours. Mm-hmm. We got into a conversation. And I says, yeah, you know, the thing is that this data that you're looking at, right? We were looking at a workshop that I taught on taking income from an investment portfolio. Mm-hmm. And we were using the required minimum distribution formula. Mm-hmm. And showing what would have happened had you been age 73 in the year 2000, just before the whole tech bubble burst. And I'm walking through what the required distributions. And I said, you know, the kind of cool thing is, these are actual audited client returns.
Yeah.
I walked through their actual audited client returns. This isn't me just making up stuff. And he goes, who does that? And I said, thank you. Yes.
Everybody should.
Can you go to any mutual fund company? You know, I don't care who they are, how big they are. You see these flashy, beautiful commercials about how, you know, happy you're going to be, and you're going to be walking on a beach. You're going to be sitting, you know, on the beach in the sand with, you know, sand in between your toes. You're going to be sailing. You're going to be having this great time in retirement. But you don't have a clue what their clients have gotten, what their returns have been.
Right.
Not a clue. And it's because, and that it's just, who does that? And I was like, thank you. Yes. I think everybody ought to. But you hear all of this fluff about, you know, this and that. Here's what this investment did over the past 10 years. This is what this did over the... Were you in it?
Right, right.
No! Well, then it doesn't matter what that investment did over the past 10 years if you weren't in it. Don't show it to me.
Yeah.
There was a firm, really, really big one. Really, 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 really big one. Matter of fact, if you look at, I was looking at ratings from some, I know, I'm not going to do it. It is an investment advisory company that was voted, has the number one rating amongst in something in these big magazines. Uh-huh. Number one rated investment firm. What I'm about to tell you is no joke. I am not making this up. I have a book. If you ever want to see it, come to my office, in my back office, of the mutual funds that they recommended 25 years ago.
Yeah.
I have the funds that they recommended in this beautiful book. And because I'm ornery, I took those funds 5 years later. And I showed how they did versus their benchmarks, the area of the market. Those funds that they told people to buy underperformed their benchmarks anywhere from 3 to over 10% per year. That's how number one rated firm. Are you kidding me? Who did they pay to get that?
Yeah.
I don't know that they paid anybody. I have no clue. I know that they paid to
use
PR the logo.
Firm.
Yeah, I don't know. But it's just like, what is the benchmark?
Right.
How can you cannot trust big magazines, big investment firms, big anybody that gives an award to anybody. We have a whole thing from the Wall Street Journal talking about 4- and 5-star rated funds and how they fall from grace on a regular basis. They underperform in the future. They're 5-star funds, for Christ's sakes. How could they be bad funds?
Yeah, not just underperform. They close.
They're
so bad they shut the fund down within 5 years.
Yes. And here's the thing is, people, you cannot blindly trust anybody, me, Evan, Ira, anybody.
Well, they can't trust me.
Brother.
Oh, brother. You have to get involved and be a part of the process. This isn't impossible to understand. You don't have to know everything. But that question to me, how do I know that everything is going the way it ought to be going, is critical. And the answer to it is you benchmark everything against the area of the market. Now, I can't do that over the area of the market that it's investing in. I can't do that over a radio show, but I'm telling you, this is something that we teach everybody because I think it's absolutely the most critical question out of all the 20, in my humble opinion, that we ask people.
And if you would like the answers to those questions, give us a call. 615. No.
Go ahead.
851.
851-19.
There you go. Paul Winkler, Investor Coaching Show. Ira Work, Evan Barnard.
That's why we're here, Paul, is to help people.
I mean, you want people to know that there is something better out there. Yeah, that's my thinking. I'm going to stick with it.
There you go.
Hey, this is Paul Winkler. Hope you enjoyed today's edition of the Investor Coaching Show. If you want to learn more about what we do, go to our website, paulwinkler.com. Until next time, I'm Paul Winkler, reminding you that I believe that more educated investors are more confident investors, and confident investors are more successful investors. Have a great one. Advisory services offered through Paul Winkler, Inc., an SEC-registered investment advisor. The opinions voiced and information provided in this material are for general informational purposes only and not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine what investments are appropriate for you, please consult with a financial advisor. Paul Winkler, Inc. does not provide tax or legal advice. Please consult your tax or legal advisor regarding your particular situation.